Want to transform your skin and challenge everything you thought you knew about clean beauty? Primally Pure is going back to the roots of skincare, literally. Their tallow-based products are grounded in ancestral wisdom and made with grass-fed beef fat. Yes, beef fat. Because sometimes nature knows best. Tallow isn't a trend. It's skin identical, meaning it closely mimics the oils your skin naturally produces. That makes it deeply nourishing, incredibly bioavailable, and wildly effective, especially for sensitive, dry, or reactive skin that's tried everything else. Thousands have made the switch and never looked back. So if you're searching for something that actually works, look no further. Head to PrimallyPure.com to shop their cult favorite tallow deodorant and explore the full line. That's PrimallyPure.com. Your skin will thank you.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
BT and Sal,
Kevin and Tiki,
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
WFAN, New York.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
If you are watching Sunday Night Football, you saw one of the craziest comebacks in NFL history as the Buffalo Bills, the lone New York team that won a game this weekend, as they came back from being down 40-25 with, I don't even know, there was 5 minutes left in the game. They scored 2 touchdowns. They missed a 2-point conversion, but they end up kicking a field goal to win 41-40. A miss, a fumble recovery after Derrick Henry drops the ball and the Bills pick it up. That is just what a – and a missed extra point by the Ravens too. That was one of the crazier turnouts, especially for week one in the NFL. That was just nuts. Now, here we go. Obviously, we're not sitting here and going to break down the entire hoopla of NFL games. I was at the Giants game, so I can't do that. I'm going to go back and watch the Jet game. I haven't watched it yet. Unfortunately, I know the outcome, and that sucks. That burns. Of course, the only thing I know, and this is the quote that I saw, was from Aaron Rodgers, who said he was extremely satisfied and felt that he was able to get his revenge at everybody in the Jets organization. So anybody who thought going into that game versus Pittsburgh Steelers that you shouldn't boo Aaron Rodgers, he's a jackass. He's a douche. That's what it comes down to. He is not somebody. First of all, he was never a Jet. He really wasn't. He was there for, you know, he was there longer than Brett Favre. But let's be serious. He did more damage than anybody else in the history of the Jets. He was there for 2 seasons. He basically got everybody fired from their jobs. And listen, the good thing that came out of it was if the Jets offense, they put up how many points? They lost by 2 points. It was a close game. So 2 points. Sorry. They lost by 1 point. And they were in this game. It was a tight. No, sorry. They did lose by 34-32. Anyway, they were in this game. They were close. It was a close game. Their offense looked good. Justin Fields looked good. Garrett Wilson looked good. Breece Hall looked good. There was a lot of good things that I understand happened. Again, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to go back and watch it, so I'll be able to give a better recap tomorrow. But the point is, the offense put up a ton of points. The defense didn't do their job. Aaron Rodgers had a field day, and that's the one thing I was scared of, is Aaron Rodgers was going to have his revenge game, and he did. So it's unfortunate I can't sit there and talk about the Jets game just yet, but 34-32 is the final, not the way the Jets wanted to end their first game at home. But there were, at least it feels like, signs. Like the what I was told from some people was it was an exciting game and the Jets offense looked good. So I have to go back and watch it, and I will. That right after I'm done with this podcast, which again, unbelievable finish to the Buffalo Bill Baltimore game, which is what we started with, because that is outrageous. Let's just go through the final few touchdowns here. Okay. Again, being down 40-25 after Derrick Henry scored a touchdown, 11:50, he puts it up. So it's 40-25 at 11:50. But the Bills don't score up until 4:05 left in the fourth quarter. Josh Allen passed to Keon Coleman, which was a deflection. Keon Coleman picks the ball up. They get the extra point, so it's 40-32. Derrick Henry then fumbles with 3:10 to go. And then Josh Allen takes the team down 30 yards. That's all they have to do. And they get to the 1 yard line. And then finally, eventually, Josh Allen runs up the gut with 2 minutes to go. And then the defense did something which they weren't able to do for the most of the game. And that's one thing I've seen with a lot of football so far today. Defense didn't really come up big. The Bills defense came up huge and were able to get the Baltimore Ravens to have to give the ball back. That's unbelievable. That was crazy. You think about that game. The Bills should not have won. The Bills shouldn't have been in it. But the Derrick Henry fumble, the extra point that was missed, and then next thing you know, it's just at a 42-yard punt, but yet they're on their 20. They go 80 yards in a minute and 26 seconds, and the Prater field goal nailed it. Unbelievable. Perfect timing, perfect plays, perfect everything. They used the timeouts right. I mean, even Baltimore had their timeouts, and they still weren't able to use them properly or figure out a way to get the ball back, and it was just excellent job by the Bills. Excuse me. It's been a long weekend. Let's get to the Giants, because that was a long game, all right? There was a lot of excitement in week one, a lot of excitement going into week one, both teams, both Jets and Giants. The Giants, there was a lot of excitement because they put up 107 points. They put up 107 points in their first three preseason games, and it looked like every piece of the offense was clicking, whether it was the whoever quarterback it was, whether it was Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, even Tommy DeVito, it looked like it was all clicking. Yet somehow they get to the regular season and it's like it's a continuation from the last couple of years. And that's frustrating because this team is supposed to be better than that. They really are. Now, the one thing that I will, there's two things. There are two big issues here with the Giants in the first go around. A lot of dropped balls. Theo Johnson dropped the ball that could have been an easy touchdown in, I think, the first quarter. Russell Wilson found him about the 5 yard line, and Theo just couldn't hold on to it. Easily could have, if he got his hands on it, walked right into the end zone. Malik Nabers on a fourth down, which they went for it on, and eventually they got called for the Commanders got called for a penalty. So they were able to continue the drive, still couldn't score and couldn't put in the end zone. So they had to kick a field goal. But Malik Nabers on fourth down, ball in his hands, and he dropped it. You can't have that in the end zone. It was fourth down. Thank goodness they called the penalty, but it didn't make a difference because they still couldn't score a touchdown. There were seven plays on first and goal, seven plays, and they couldn't score a touchdown. That's rough. You saw Josh Allen. They were able to figure out a way, in a crunch time situation, down by 8 points, and Josh Allen found a way to get in the end zone. You have to just do it. Whether it's a play call, whether you tap the shoulder of the person that you know is going to be the most reliable in the end zone, and listen, Malik Nabers is supposed to be the most reliable guy, but it didn't come through. And it wasn't just Malik; it was everybody. The refs missed some calls. I'm not going to sit there and say that they didn't. There was a play down the field where, I mean, Darius Slayton got face masked so bad after one of the cornerbacks, I think it was Lattimore, got hurt. Somebody got hurt, and their replacement was in. It was a young kid, and obviously one-on-one, you're going to try to expose that. And the kid basically just ripped on Darius Slayton's helmet. I mean, and so everyone saw it. The replay showed everything. And there was no flag, no nothing. And it took about three plays for the Commanders to finally get called for a penalty. And it was more like a, hey, we screwed up before, so we'll give you one back. But that wasn't good enough. It really wasn't. The rushing game was not good. Tyrone Tracy was not good. Singletary really didn't get used a lot. Russell Wilson got most of the yards, and that's not really what you want. That's not really how you want to go about it. You want it to come from Tracy, Singletary. That's what you want, and it just wasn't very effective. The offense was not very effective. So having 6 points is not effective. That's bad, you know? That's against the Commanders team that you were able to eliminate a lot of big plays, a lot of damage. Listen, this was the biggest problem because offensively, they couldn't put up points. 6 points is not good enough. We're going to sit there and say that all day. That's no doubt about it. But this is where the defense got into trouble, is how many times did the Commanders commit a penalty on offense and get pushed back, whether it was an offensive penalty, maybe there was a sack, because the Giants did get to Jaden Daniels a few times. Brian Burns got two sacks. You had one from a split sack with Kayvon, and Abdul, I think Carter, got the other half of that sack. So they were able to get to Jaden here and there, but then you would push them back 10 yards from a penalty or whatever the case is, and then the chunk plays they gave up right after that, it'd be 2-19, 2-20, 2-21, 2-22, and then all of a sudden they get a 11 to 12 yard gain, and they basically cut that in half. And then the next play, they get the first down. They, from what I understand, on those 10 plays that they lost yardage on, and they were more than 10 yards away from the first down, they averaged 15 yards a play on those plays, on those possessions. That's not that's terrible. The defense has to tighten up. It just has to. You know, it didn't seem like they were able to fill the gaps. The Jaden Daniels and crew seemed to figure out and know every which way that whenever there was somebody to expose, they exposed them. There was an injury that, I mean, Michael McFadden getting hurt in the first drive of the game on defense was terrible. I don't know how bad the injury is. I haven't looked at all, but he was out for the game, got air casted and carted off. But as soon as that happened, like, it was like, okay, let's go attack where Michael McFadden is. That's where we're going to attack. Dexter Lawrence takes a day off, playoff. All right, let's go attack up the middle. I mean, it was easy. They knew exactly, the Commanders knew exactly how to play the Giants, and that can't happen. That can't happen anymore. Listen, it's week one. You want to say that, okay, it's week one. We got the jitters out, you know, new team. You know, it was good in the preseason, but really this is against the number ones, and the Commanders are a good team, so we got to give them a little bit more credit, and we have to go and realize that the Giants are still on different levels. I'm telling you right now, though, the Giants can't go to Dallas next week and put up 6 points. That's not going to fly. The Giants can't go to Dallas and give up chunk plays defensively the way they've been doing. They can't allow – I mean, the Commanders were so undisciplined, the amount of penalties on both sides of the ball, and yet it's still only a lot – it got to 6 points. That's what the Giants scored? Again, part of this is because they just couldn't find a way when they were on the goal line to get any sort of push or drive to get into the end zone. It's whether it's the play calling, whether it's just the offensive line. And this is the thing, you know, obviously the one big thing that started this game, you get the news that Andrew Thomas is not playing. And this is now the third year in a row that Andrew Thomas is missing games. Obviously last year, it was more midway through the season where he got hurt. But 2 years ago, or in 2023, when he got hurt in the first drive of the game, and he was done basically the rest of the season. I mean, the season hangs on Andrew Thomas. Think about that. I've never seen an offensive lineman that when a quarterback gets hurt and things go, you know, upside down, that makes sense, unfortunately. And you hate to be like, oh, one player makes that much of a difference. But that's really what it comes down to with the Giants. Andrew Thomas is such a key player to this offense. It all runs through him. He is the key. If he's not healthy, it doesn't feel like this offensive line is going to block as well. I mean, Russell Wilson was having troubles all day long trying to find his receivers, trying to escape from pressure. He did cut up, you know, and make some plays that he had to go scramble down the field a few times. But Andrew Thomas was clearly missed. End of story. And if the Giants, now I understand a lot of people were praising the Giants for not pushing Thomas, not forcing him to get back out there. Because again, who knows how bad that injury could have gotten if he gets it re-injured. You want to have him as much of the season as possible. My question is though, when is he going to come back? And is the season over by the time he comes back? It can't happen. You in week two against the Cowboys, you can't have the same situation. End of story. So Giants, a rough, rough week one. Everyone knows it, no matter what. And for anybody out there that's already sitting saying, get Jackson Dart in the game. Give Jackson, get him in. Enough with Russell Wilson. We don't need to see Russell Wilson. We want to see Jackson Dart. I'm sorry, but the offensive line was not great. You're going to get Jackson Dart killed. Is that what you want in week one? Is that what you want this season? Is this kid to get destroyed? I don't. Again, Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are two professional quarterbacks that if you're going to win, those are the two guys that are going to make the right moves, right decisions, are going to play the best football right now. No doubt about it. For the Giants to win. They give the Giants the best opportunity. They really do. And I like Jackson Dart a lot. I think he's got a lot of moxie. I think he's very gifted, and I think he's going to be a really great quarterback in the NFL. I don't want to see him play right now. I don't. There was rumors that, he would have gotten a play. There were some play calls that may have included Jackson Dart. Okay, fine. You want to give him a little taste here and there? I'm okay with that. I am not rushing to put that kid in a game full-time just yet. Not happening. I really want to see Russell Wilson try to lead this team. And I think he can. But there is a lot of things that they need to fix. And the first thing is catching the goddamn ball. That is the first thing. Because there were too many times, like I said, where the ball was in their hands in big plays. I think there was 5 drop passes today. That's not good. It's not good. Quickly, we'll hit the Mets and the Yankees. Again, Mets, unfortunately, if you listen to the Rico Bronya with Evan Roberts, we just did it not too long ago, and losing 2-3 in Cincinnati is not what you want either. Now, listen, there was two or three games were pitched by the young kids. Those two games they lost, but it's not because of the young kids, which is why they lost. They lost because they didn't hit. In Cincinnati, which is a bandbox, which everybody and their mother hits. I mean, we were talking before. The Toronto series that was just happened. I mean, Toronto's putting up 12, 13 runs a game in Cincinnati. That's just what happens. A lot of home runs get hit there. And the Mets, on the other hand, they weren't doing any of that. Soto hits a solo home run at the end of the game. Brett Beatty hits a solo home run in the beginning of the game on Sunday, and that's it. And Brandon Sproat goes out there and pitches a great 6-inning game. 3 runs, 7 strikeouts, you know, puts on a couple base runners with the walks and the hits. Okay, I got it. But, like, these young kids are already showing you that they have more ability than the veterans of the staff right now. If you ask me right now, who am I picking to pitch in the wild card series? I'm telling you, Nolan McClain, Brandon Sproat, Jonah Tong. And now Tong has struggled a little bit more because even the first game, he wasn't perfect, but they still go 6 innings. And even though there are struggles, he still works through it. and he could still try to find his way, which is something that you need to see, because that's part of the reason why Peterson and Mania can't go deep anymore, is because they can't figure it out. They're having a rough go of it, and they are just – there's no choice. Mendoza has to pull them, otherwise they're going to get blown up. If they're not getting pulled in the fourth inning, they're going to get pulled in the fifth or sixth, giving up 10 runs. They're just not effective. And then the Yankees, at least, are the only, you know, were able to at least win. Ben Rice, three-run home run to start the game. And it was a good victory over the Blue Jays, which is much needed because they're still trying to win the division. The Mets just need to make the playoffs right now. The Yankees, the playoffs are not even a question. It's more about, can they win the division? And they, listen, like I said, I've been saying this over and over and over. I don't see why the Yankees can't make the World Series. With the teams that they have to play against, the AL is not very strong. I don't care who they are. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some decent teams out there, but the Yankees could beat anybody. They have the ability to beat bad pitching. They have the ability to beat up on bad bullpen arms, and that's a lot of what's going on with the American League teams. Now, the question is, what about Tarik Skubal? What about Shane Bieber? What about those type of guys? How are they going to handle those pitchers? Well, that's what it's going to come down to. That's the true test. Those stud ace pitchers, excuse me, as my allergies have just completely picked up, and I am I'm losing it as we go on. All right, I'm going to call it a day. We have a huge week of talking about the Jets and Giants as they lost the first game of the week one of the season. And we're going to talk about it all day long on WFAN with Boomer and Geo, with BT and Sal, with Evan and Tiki, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonagle. We're all going to touch on it. So just make sure you tune in on Monday. We'll also talk about the Mets, Yankees, all that stuff as well. And then we'll get into previewing week two, because that's how football goes. One after another, it just flies. All right. Thank you again for listening to WFAN Daily with Pete Hoffman. You can always follow me at HoffWFAN. I will see you guys mañana. Peace.